how did this happen 2019? This is not what I ordered.
Right?
Send it back.
Maybe we shouldn't even do an opening. We should just start talking. Just let it go from there.
This is our intro.
Yep.
Hi, everyone.
Well, that's kind of free form, but okay.
That's how we roll here.
It's all about it. Fuck it. YOLO.
We ain't got no format sheet, motherfucker.
No gods, no masters. Do as thou wilt.
Amazing.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com. The only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey, you! Yeah, I'm talking to you, sassy girl. Need a little in your step? Try this on for size. It's pop. It tastes great. It makes you feel kind of funny. Not here, not down there, but all up in this area. Jumbo Pop.
Talking Pop. Pop.
Yo. Sick and tired of hearing all these people talk about what's the deal with this pop life and when is it gonna fade out? The thing you got to realize, what we're doing is not a trend. We got the good, the melody, we're gonna bring it till the end. Come on now.
Place to Be Nation. It's time for another episode of Talkin' Pop. My name is Jennifer Smith and I'm here with Tim. Hey Tim, how are you?
Hey, Jennifer Smith, I'm very good, ready to talk some pop, and as we were talking before our official, very official introduction, we have just crossed our one-year anniversary here on Talkin' Pop.
Yes, we did. I scrolled through our feed, and I couldn't find the date, so I just gave up on it, because, you know, I got bored.
Right. So with that in mind, we've planned a very special anniversary edition of Talkin' Pop for you. Everyone's listening pleasure.
The 14-month anniversary.
Yeah, exactly. We have a great guest.
We do have a great guest.
A guest I know kind of, sort of well already, someone I've known for many years, but that you don't know all that well. Jenny, who do we have with us tonight?
We're going to be talking to the spectacular Glenn Butler. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, y'all.
Thank you for that. How are
Thank
you doing?
Thank you very much.
I am doing as well as could be expected under the circumstances.
Oh, well, all right. I guess I'll take that.
Can I start with what might be a surprising admission?
Of course.
Please do.
I'm feeling a little nervous, a little anxious. Doing this, and so I just did something that I haven't done in a bit of a minute. I just popped a pot cookie a few minutes ago.
Oh, yes! That's amazing.
How is this happening already, Jenny?
I don't know. Like, this is a gift from the pot gods, because I
really
was not expecting this. And that's
Glenn,
in my wheelhouse.
It sure is, and Glenn, we're going to do everything we can to make you feel comfortable, but you do what you need to do to make yourself feel comfortable as well. One of the, I feel like, common threads here on Talkin' Pop is that our guests like to unburden themselves. And I don't know what it is. They get to talking, we get to asking questions, and we get real cozy and have a good time. And you say things and learn things that you never thought you would. And I hope that's going to be the case. I hope that's going to help you unburden yourself. And, yeah, we're going to have a great time here tonight. I can already tell.
Oh, yeah, me too. So, about this pot cookie, did you eat the whole thing?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
the effects have been a little less from the others that I've had. This is all legal, by the way.
Of course.
Sure. No, I'm serious. Like, I went to a shrink and got diagnosed, and I'm kind of been processing that for the last year.
Oh, okay. How long ago, two questions, actually. I just thought of a second. How long ago did you consume said pot cookie tonight?
I would say about 45 minutes to an hour ago.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're going to be in good shape. Mm-hmm. And how long ago were you prescribed this medicinal remedy?
The first time, or the one that I got now?
I guess the one that you've got now.
Well, this has been sitting around for a little while. I first got referred to the my local dispensary last summer, and I went kind of hardcore on it for a couple of months, and it didn't exactly give me the results that I wanted. I was looking for something to help with some serious, you know, anxiety and you know, carry-on effects from that, which are not fun for me or the people around me. Mm-hmm. And it didn't really deaden those effects as much as I'd hoped. But it has its uses at times, and I'm trying to use it to get through 2019 now.
I hear that.
Are you just doing the edibles?
Yes, I can't. My body just can't handle smoking anything. Okay. Never been able to smoke anything.
I'm kind of the same way. Yeah, I know what you mean. Give me, all the drugs, sure, mm-hmm. Great. But I just, inhalants, putting it into my lungs, it just doesn't really agree.
I
wish it weren't so, but
oh, yeah. Well. I also wound up getting capsules from the dispensary.
Hmm.
Which is how you know it's a real legit dispensary, because it's a form that's not any fun to do for anyone.
What about, I hear there are such things as drinkables, like lemonade. Have you tried any of that?
I haven't. They have some of the milder strains that they sell in honey.
Mm.
So you could use that to make like any sort of drink and get it that way. I didn't wind up doing that because it was one of the more mild ones.
Mm-hmm.
And on the opposite end of that spectrum is those pills that I mentioned, because they are the hardest ones and the highest doses that I've seen. I would take one to go to sleep, and then I would wake up still high. So in terms of being productive at work, it wasn't the best option.
Yeah, a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B. Sort of wonder, well, do I really need to be that productive? Kind of depends on the day. Probably not the best choice and best frame of mind for just getting yourself up out of bed and going. But hey, speaking of deadening those experiences and those terrible feelings, I think if it gets that job done, then you're doing a whole hell of a lot better than a lot of us. So just finding that right balance, right?
Exactly.
And so you're really looking for something to, like you said, sort of curb some of your anxiety, something that'll kind of give you like a low level high, like for the whole day, or are you looking for like something a little bit more intense than that?
Well, when I was first trying it, I was definitely looking for something that would be like a very, very low level, just enough to kind of take the edge off
mm-hmm.
For basically the whole day. It's not quite what I found. So after like experimenting with it in a few different ways last summer into last fall, I haven't really kept doing it very much mm-hmm. Until tonight. So here we are.
Lucky us.
I know, right? But I also feel kind of bad. Like, I don't want you to feel anxious about doing this. I mean, because that's junk, so I mean.
Oh, I know. That's no reflection on you. That I feel that way about everything.
No, I only laugh because I can relate. I know how that feels. And just to be anxious all the time, and it just doesn't turn off, and you go, why? In your own head, you're sitting there intellectually understanding that you're really okay, at least for the next 2 minutes, reasonably sure that the world isn't going to end, but your brain just disagrees.
Mm-hmm.
And
it won't listen
to stop. It won't stop.
Yeah, that's something that I think a lot of people really don't understand. I'm sick of my shit, too.
You're right.
I don't want to be the way that I am, either. I understand. I get it. I'm as sick of this as you are.
Look, nobody wants to wake up every morning and be back on your bullshit immediately. never got off your bullshit.
Exactly.
Always on your bullshit. Mm.
Did you find that the prescription was at all difficult to get? Did you feel like you had to jump through any hoops, or was there any pushback from your prescriber?
Well, the way that it works in Connecticut, you have to get referred by a psychiatrist, but, you know, referred by a doctor to another doctor who specializes in screening people for the medical program.
Mm-hmm.
So having to go to another doctor and pay, you know, the entry fees into the program, which are not unsubstantial,
mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a hoop, and for someone without the money, it's not really that possible, but it wasn't a lot of draconian measures. It's not like they put me through a battery of stuff to, like, re-diagnose me. They just took, you know, a letter from a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Did you get any help from insurance, or was a lot of this out of pocket?
No insurance covers okay. it in my state, and I'm not sure if they do anywhere.
I don't think so.
I don't either. Yeah, I don't know that I've heard of that. But maybe I was hoping Connecticut was perhaps a little more progressive. Oh, well.
In terms of statewide policies, we're alarmingly toward the middle.
Yeah, hence why you need a little help from your herbal friend. did you have to try, like, other things before it got to this point? Like, were they saying, okay, why don't you take Xanax or Valium or...
Oh, God. That was...
Gabapentin was the big one that seems to be right now, like, for kind of everyday use. I don't know why this is all of a sudden, like, the... pharmaceutical hour.
Oh no, I'm in with all this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure about the last one that you mentioned. I don't think I've heard of that before. But until I got that referral and got into the marijuana program last summer, I spent, you know, all of last year up to then at the you know, in my latest effort to try to get on some meds, but nothing seemed to really do much of anything. It's a little strange. Like, other than a couple of them, I didn't even have side effects. Most of them, I just had no effect at all.
Really?
Wow.
It's very frustrating.
Even Xanax?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's like the first or second one that I tried.
Wow.
Last year, last year at least, I've had these bouts of let's maybe try to get some help about every 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and they may not have dosed it right either. I mean, it's the type of thing that when it works, but it's very short act, you know, it's in and out of your system pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, all of a sudden I feel okay. And then, oh, just kidding. It's back.
Well, that's how they keep you on the Xanax, I guess, huh?
I know. Well, and that's the thing too, is that, you know, it's one of those things that's pretty habit forming.
Mm.
And it's like, you never really need less. Unless you've really made a huge breakthrough, but who does that? Let's be honest. And yeah, you know, switch to something like medical marijuana, presumably a little bit less habit forming. I guess anything is habit forming in perhaps the wrong hands, but I don't know. I think compared to actual benzodiazepines, you know, regulated narcotics and other such terrible, you know, legal things that mm-hmm. can kill you all the same and are a lot more likely to than medical marijuana.
But are covered by insurance for the
But marijuana. Are fully covered by insurance, yes. And you can get with a like $10 copay.
Right.
What a world.
Now I need a pot cookie.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, don't let me stop. Glenn, I now have a softball question for you. Can you please tell us, sir, why is everything shit? I told you it'd be an easy one.
We're harshing his buzz.
Like you can, everything?
Yeah, the royal everything.
Like everything that's shit now, everything shit that's happened for the last several thousand years to set us up for our various downfalls. I mean, there are lots of frames to take on this.
There really are. And, you know, you can think on this, you can ponder it for a while. I think I just wanted to present it in order to say, Glenn Butler, existentialist. So we'll let that simmer. Jenny, what are some things you want to know about Glenn? Well, I mean, I already know Glenn, sort of, mostly.
Well,
a little bit.
Just one more thing about the edible. So,
okay.
When
I said it, I didn't expect it to be our first 20 minutes. But
no, like, cool. I'm seriously really into this topic. So, my experience with edibles was, like, a few cookies, and then she switched to brownies. So, like, the brownies were, like, made in a baking, like, a cup can. Cup can. A cupcake
off,
pan.
Damn.
And so they were, like, cupcake-sized brownies. And so, like, you could just do, well, I could just do, like, maybe, like, an eighth of it or, like, a quarter of it if I was feeling real snappy. And that shit would last for, like, hours and hours. But the good side to me for edibles is that the munchies are, like, severely reduced as opposed to smoking.
Mm.
Because you've already munched?
Because you've already eaten it. So I find that fascinating, and I wonder if the same was true for you. Do you have the munchies from the edibles at all?
The ones with the higher dosage that got me, like, higher than I wanted to be, I did kind of get the munchies from those. The lighter ones, not as much.
Well, that makes sense.
It seems like that could be a vicious cycle to me. Like you said, it curbs the munchies for you, Jenny, but I just sort of feel like if I'm getting high, I'm going to get the munchies, and if I'm getting high from eating something and I get the munchies, I'm going to want to keep eating that thing.
That thing, yeah. See?
Yeah. It's, ooh, God.
Oh, man, the first time I got these cookies, like the particular ones that I got, they gave to you in a set of three, and, you know, come back next week. The first time, I swear I took, like, two small bites, because I was horrified that, like, I'd eat the whole thing and then, you know, be, like, extremely, extremely gone.
Like, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas kind of fucked.
Yes, precisely.
Good Lord.
But yeah, the first time I took, like, two tiny little bites, and like, okay, I'll wait 2 hours and see what happens. and then eventually I graduated to, yeah, I'm going to bed, I'll just have half of this.
See, maybe a quarter, not even that much, would last me, like, all day, and it would be, like, real mild, you know, just, like, fully functional, and, but just, you know, just what I always thought of, like, how normal people felt, like, how happy people felt all the time.
How normal people feel, yes. What a concept.
I don't know any normal people, but I assume that they exist.
I am not being at all sarcastic. I would love to know.
But I was like I was like Gollum with that shit. Like, I was like, my precious brownies. Like, I knew exactly how many bites. I mean, addicts know. Like, they know
how much
shit they have. And so that was always like, oh my God, do I have enough brownie to get this fucking week?
Yeah, I guess you got to ration that shit out.
I totally did. And I mean, I ain't going to lie. Like, I would keep all the little, like, God, I'm putting all my shit out there, but I would keep all the, like, clear plastic bags that the brownie came in, and it would have, like, crumbs in it. And then, like, eventually you could consolidate crumbs if you needed to.
Consolidate the crumbs.
So, eventually you're consolidating the crumbs. When it gets really bad, you start thinking, you know, some of that oil might have rubbed off on the inside of the bag. I gotta lick these babies down.
See, you know what I'm talking about.
How many crumbs do you have to accumulate before it qualifies as a bite?
A lot.
Consolidate those crumbs.
And then they would get all, like, really crusty and gross. Anyway. So there's some information. Yeah. I do have a question.
Cool.
What is a quadrennial Iowa Disparathon?
Okay, my quadrennial Iowa Disparathon, yes. You've only done one, right? Yeah, podcast feed hasn't been going much longer than that.
If it's quadrennial, then yeah.
Yes.
Do the
In the far off halcyon days of early 2016.
Right.
pretty soon after my brother and I started the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, now on the Place Be Nation Pop feed. We did an episode before the Iowa caucuses about all of the multitudinous gaggle of people running for president at that point. And then the rest of everything happened. and we're going to have to do another one next year, but I'm not looking forward to it.
You say that now, but think about how much less you'll be looking forward to it when the day actually finally arrives.
Oh, man, it's everything's shit. God is dead.
We got there early in this episode, didn't we?
We got there real early. Hey, look, the first 20 minutes might have been about substance use. I won't call it abuse. There's never a guarantee for another 20 minutes on this show, so I thought right. That was time well spent. And, yeah, I mean, now we can get into the quadrennial Iowa Disparathon, which is already looking rather dispiriting. Have you any, I don't want to call it hope, but
nobody has any of that,
but I don't know, looking at the Democratic field right now, the front run, there's no clear front runner necessarily, but the contenders, let's say, is anybody, are you holding out any sort of enthusiasm for any of these folks so far, Glenn?
I'm not super impressed with anyone. I'm super unimpressed with a few of them. I mean, they all have disqualifying sins, but we can't be afforded the luxury of that discretion.
Doesn't everybody? Yeah. I mean, we're somewhat far afield from the, ideological purity, I guess. You're sort of going for, your expectations are on the floor, but we've got pros and cons for everybody in the race right now, and it's so early. We just don't know to phrase it very cowardly, right? We just don't know what we don't know.
Well, as almost always happens when there are a million different people running, by the fall, a lot of them will realize it just ain't happening. And more importantly, their donors will. So usually with a big field like this, most people will drop out in December, January. Unless the primaries in the first phase are just so indecisive, which I suppose it's possible that they will be. I'm just thinking about
it. It kind of wouldn't be that surprising if they are. I mean, I don't know. I think everybody's kind of there. It's in terms of, oh, this is really it, and nobody's really jumping up and down. And I mean, it's so early that, of course, that can change, but I guess my point is that I wouldn't be shocked at all if it is a very indecisive, well, we care marginally more than in the fall than we did in March. let's say, but it's still kind of like, it's anybody's race.
I suppose. And a lot of the polling about it at this point is meaningless. I'm just thinking about the fact that between the time that we're recording this and the time that it comes out on the feed, it is very probable that Joe fucking Biden will be running, and that just makes me so sad.
Yeah, that is, yeah, we should mention we are recording this on March 28th, so things could be rather different by the time folks are hearing this. All right, I have a question that I'm not sure how to articulate, because I'm not sure why it bothers me the way that it does, and maybe you can lend some insight to this. I am, here we go, this is a scoop, folks. I'm going to drop a real bombshell. I mean, we've been dancing around it, hinting at this fact, but I have to say, I'm not a big fan of President Donald Trump. I said it, I'll stand by it. We don't need to get into the reasons why, but there it is. And one thing that I get so, I don't know, a combination of angry and just exhausted by are the dumb Trump jokes and memes. Like, I mean, people have been making fun of presidents for as long as there have been presidents, mm-hmm. and there have been dumb jokes about presidents for as long as there's been presidents. But it's, I mean, for one thing, we're seeing just an overwhelming intensity of that and frequency of that. And, you know, it's all pretty lazy comedy, of course. But I don't know. It just feels like, is this really what we should be doing? Like, well, there's intelligent political commentary. And then there's, look, he misspelled a word on Twitter.
Well,
he called Tim Cook Tim Apple.
That's just where we are. I mean, like, he's the fucking president. Like, there's a certain level of, like, expectation that you have for someone intelligence-wise. And yeah. So there's, it just becomes, like, even the stupidest things are, like, stupidly comical. Like, he can't even get this right. He can't even do this.
I think a lot of how those jokes land depends on what exactly they're making fun of him for. I mean a lot of the stuff about his looks is like, his looks aren't what's horrible about him. The white supremacy is.
Yeah.
Right, but
or like fat jokes about him. Like, the fact that he's fat isn't the problem, you know? The problem is the white supremacy, maybe.
Well, I mean, let's joke about white supremacy then, you know? I mean, what are you going to do at this point? Everybody's just desperate for some sort of fucking laugh.
That's the other side to it, too, is that, you know, there's the sense of, well, what can you do but laugh about it?
That's another thing. The jokes aren't supposed to convince anyone. The jokes are just supposed to keep us going for another 5 minutes, please.
Yeah. And I guess that's where I'm at, and that's my struggle. Is like, it's kind of having the opposite effect on me, where I'm just, you know, of all the things to fixate on and just go at. So, you know, Twitter comments, which, yes, a president should be held to a much higher standard and be far more articulate, and the fact is, well, this one isn't. I just sort of feel like we get that now, and it's, you know, we're 2 years in, and I'm just like, I feel like I'm just being pounded over the head by just the bullshit of it all, and it's not funny to me anymore. It's like, this is not funny, I'm not laughing, this is not helping, and I don't know, I just wondered if anyone else was there too, or if I'm just, or if my sense of humor is just dying on the vine, I guess.
I mean, we're all beaten down constantly just like being aware adults in the world, right? Mm-hmm. So just to a certain extent, there's any port in a storm.
Right. I mean, like, I'm going to giggle about it and move about my day. I'm not, like, sitting there thinking about it. It's just, you know, just something else to scroll by, really. And, I mean, are there intelligent jokes that you can make? Like, because once you try to elevate it, it gets depressing. So you just got to stay petty and try to keep it on the chuckle level.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I suppose it all depends on the source. You know, John, and this is purely a hypothetical, but let's throw out there, John Oliver might do a better job at this than, you know, your dumb uncle on Facebook.
A little bit.
And just so much of it is the equivalent of your dumb uncle on Facebook. So,
well,
on a lighter note.
That level of...
Go ahead.
I mean, that level of discourse is just something that, you know, so you have to carefully select your inputs. You know, I'm definitely an advocate of strictly limiting the amount of the bullshit that you allow yourself to be exposed to, if you can help it.
Preach. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, no, that's an important point. Is and I think the last part that you said, if you can help it, and sometimes I feel like I'm trying to limit it, but it's just so inescapable. Like, when you're not even trying, you're just maybe you're looking at you're going to links, you know, in the Wednesday walk, and you know, you fall into one of those wormholes of clicking link after link after link, and all of a sudden it's, oh god, here we go with the dumb Trump jokes. And it's,
oh, see, I'm generally,
you weren't looking for it, you didn't go out of your way.
Well, I'm generally afraid of the fact that, you know, you click any given link and it's like only five more clicks until you get to, ooh, neo-Nazis.
Yes, that's
they're back.
An easy, sad, sadly, it's an e-fall into, like, you're two YouTube recommendations away, so, at any given moment. But yeah, on a lighter note, speaking of dumb Trump jokes, Glenn, do you feel like maybe we were perhaps indirectly complicit in Donald Trump's election by supporting the website LiveJournal for as long as we did?
Hey, I don't know about you, but my engagement with that site was going down a lot by the time they got bought out by the Russians.
Yeah, I would agree. When did the Russians buy them, anyway? I'm a little fuzzy on the timeline.
Oh, somewhere around 2010 or 11, I think.
Ooh. Yeah, that's like when I started posting. And you see, we all sort of trailed off by the end, of course, and that was like probably 2013 when it had just gotten bad with all the, let's say there were a lot of technical issues on a rather frequent basis.
Yeah, I remember that now. They were going down all the time.
Owing to our Russian overlords, I felt
sure.
Like. And 2013 for anybody just feels like too long to be on LiveJournal. I don't know. Everyone's sort of made that mass migration a little bit before.
Well,
we were the last holdouts. Damn it.
Actually, you know what? Given the absolute hash that so many people's lives are in serious ways based on policies by Facebook and Twitter, LiveJournal is looking pretty good in retrospect.
You say we should go back to it.
Maybe not now, but there's got to be... There's always the next thing, you know? Hey, y'all on Mastodon?
Mastodon? No.
I love when you say y'all. I don't know why.
Did you ever use LiveJournal, Jenny?
No, I did not.
Oh, it's a shame.
I know, right?
You've looked at the old blog, though, haven't you?
No, I think I've just seen one of your stories, in screenshot form, or a link, perhaps. Some sort of bathroom adventure, I think.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was an adventure.
No.
Yeah. I won a fake internet award for that. It was great.
I love fake internet awards.
I guess this show has also won fake internet.
Exactly. We won a prestigious Haffy Award.
Right. Given out by our peers. Very good. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's the Haffies, not to be confused with the Welpies. The reason I bring up LiveJournal is that is where the Wednesday walk around the web originated, right?
Yes, very nearly 10 years ago now.
Holy
That's
shit.
That's amazing.
Fun fact, the first Wednesday walk around the web was posted on a Tuesday.
Was it really?
I wasn't a mod yet. Yes, I was. And, you know, there was a dead thread on a Tuesday, so we needed a new thread, and I'm like, I'll throw a bunch of links together. The first one was called A Tuesday Thread. And then the next week I did it on Wednesday, and now Lisa here.
Yeah, and I have so many memories around the Wednesday walk, and just I guess I'm curious, what makes a link or a story Wednesday walk worthy to you?
Something is a prime candidate if it's something that I have a little bit to say about, just something other than just the headline, which I'll do sometimes for things that are self-explanatory. If it's something that I just think is hilarious, and if it's a parody cover of Jolene, those get in all the time.
Everyone loves a good theme, right?
I think the last one that I posted was a link to a cover of Jolene, conceptualizing Jolene herself as a sort of a Lovecraftian heaven monster.
A heaven monster.
Well, like the angels as they're actually described in the Bible, incomprehensible beings of light with a lion's head and a donkey's head and two other heads, and just like something that reduces you to a gibbering mass, like a Lovecraftian being.
Huh. A heaven
something
monster.
Terrifying,
yes.
In other words.
Heaven Monster is a good band name. So
Heaven Monster. Mm. Yeah. I feel like my all-time favorite Wednesday walk link has to be the one about... It's about dolphins using fish to masturbate with.
What?
Yeah.
The first week on The Place to Be.
That's right. Goes way back, yeah. I think there was one about the best brands of olive oil as well, which I found very educational as I just moved into my home and needed groceries and supplies, so, yeah.
Tell me more about the dolphin and the masturbating.
Oh, I wish I could remember the
details.
Okay,
so here's the thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Workers at an aquarium discovered that their male dolphins, or male-identified dolphins, would...
Do we know that? I mean, the dolphins are very intelligent, but...
Well, what I mean is they're assigned male at birth. much like myself. And they would take the hollowed-out husks of their prey fish, the smaller fish, and just get all up on them.
go to town.
Wow. So,
seems risky, though.
Do the flippers hold it? Like, how does that work?
They would kind of swim into it, and then you use the natural friction of the sea. The motion of the ocean, if you will.
Yeah, kind of makes you wonder what Flipper was really up to.
Watch that show. Wow, that's amazing.
It seems risky, though. I mean, you talk about, you're dealing with fish, and, fish bones, kind of a, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't try it. I try a lot of things, but I wouldn't try that.
Well, it's ribbed that way, so, literally, with the fish ribs.
Oh, man, we've made it this far. Is the podcast horny now?
This podcast is 100% horny all the time. So you wouldn't know because you don't listen to us, but yeah, this is what we do.
You come at me like that.
I'm just saying. Mister, I listened to the first episode, and then I got high on pot cookies for a year, and I couldn't after that.
I'm kind of glad, though, that you only listened to the first episode, because had you listened to subsequent episodes, you may not have agreed to come on.
Well, except for that Jad episode. That was pretty good. And Stacy.
Except for those. All the other ones would have been a real turn off, I guess.
I think the Stacy one might have been, of extreme interest to you, actually.
Perhaps a serving niche interests. But hey, that's what we do here. But yeah, I mean, I will say I was a little afraid that that you would say no.
Me
and,
too.
You'd be the first one to turn us down.
Yep.
And I would have been okay with that, to be honest.
Why would I turn you down, my longtime good and dear friend?
Yeah.
How would I do that?
I think you would have been perhaps more comfortable turning me down because I am your longtime close personal dear friend. You would have said, you know, I've listened to your show and not for me. Sorry, nothing personal. But it's good. It's good that we can all do each other's podcasts and have friendships remain intact. As much as possible.
I can't wait for our guest spot on the Spectacular.
Oh.
It's gonna be great.
are we fishing now? Are we fishing still?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. We
I'm masturbating with fish, but I mean,
Hey, you know what? I'm not here to judge.
You do you, boo.
Right.
Oh my god. On this incredibly awkward note, we should probably take a break.
Yeah, we are coming up on a, hard break. So why don't we go ahead and take that and
all right, grab you a hollowed out fish.
Yep, or a pop brownie.
Either one.
Or something stronger.
Then put your hands together.
Put your flippers together.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and HistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
got a broken semen, y'all. So all I got is
Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to Talkin' Pop. I am Tim Capel here with Jennifer Smith. Jenny, how was your break?
My break was good.
Feeling some relief?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go for the second half?
Okay. So hard, man. It was great.
Oh, yes. That's what the people want to hear.
I know it.
We have a guest with us tonight. He's still with us, improbably, after our first half.
Are you sure?
Well, let's find out. Glenn, you still with us?
Yes.
Okay. I'm registering a yes. That is Glenn Butler, ladies and gentlemen, of the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular. And, yeah, we learned a lot in our first half of the show. Let's see if we can keep that going here. And hope that Glenn can remain lucid. This reminds me of, are you familiar, question for both of you, with the concept of the ambient Olympics?
No.
No, I don't believe so.
It's basically when you take Ambien, but you aren't trying to sleep. You're trying to actually do something, and hopefully nothing all that important, but you're trying to actually get things done, and you want to make a game of it and challenge yourself. So you're like doing a bunch of laundry or I don't know, cooking or cleaning, and it's becoming progressively more and more difficult to, you know, not only focus on the task, but stay awake. And yeah, it's a fun challenge when you have that kind of time and luxury on your hands.
Don't people already do fucked up shit on Ambien already? Like,
yeah.
There
are, when you're not even trying to.
I can't imagine, like, I can't imagine me on Ambien. No. Mm-mm.
I need to, like, apply for jobs on Ambien. I don't think the process would go a whole lot smoother and lead to a better outcome.
Oh, but then they'd expect Ambien to show up every day.
Right.
Perhaps that can be arranged.
Well,
long term, I can't make any promises. But
hey, you know, if you get the job and get that coverage.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, I just need to get my foot in the door. All right. Jenny, you are going to WrestleMania.
Sure am. Next weekend, baby.
Glenn, you are going to WrestleMania.
Yes, I am.
And is this your, this is not your first WrestleMania, is it?
Yes, it is, actually.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Ooh. Yeah, the last time that WrestleMania was in my region in 2013, that was actually my gap year in terms of wrestling. Like, I just stopped. It was my gap year. Yeah, I stopped watching in the middle of 2012, and I didn't start watching again until the beginning of 2014. When I joined up at this site.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess you missed your window sort of there. The last time it was in the great state of the great city of New York, New Jersey. So, all right, are you guys going to get together? What kind of shenanigans are you going to get into?
Well, I mean, he's bringing the pot cookies, so
yeah.
I'm probably going to have to hunt him down.
Okay.
There's this tailgate gimmick that we're doing, so
tailgate gimmick.
I'll be there getting drunk, and hopefully making it the 7 hours of the show.
Oh my God!
Oh sweet. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's honestly,
gonna be a thing.
That's a big part of why I'm sort of thinking, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to do a WrestleMania. That's a tall order.
All right, so last year was my first one, and it was long, and I really didn't sweat it at all. Like, it didn't even feel like 7 hours to me. But, you know, I'm not a grizzled veteran like all you people are, so
all you people.
I was all, like, wide-eyed and innocent. So, and, you know, frankly, I didn't know any of this shit going into it, so I guess it didn't really matter to me. So, it was just really just, the experience. So, but I mean, I'm just kind of gonna go with it. I'm not really worried about the length of it. Unless I'm just, like, really fucked up, which is a possibility.
Not worried about the length of it. So, you do know the shit this year, though.
I do know the shit, yes.
It'll be a somewhat different experience. On the one hand, you've been there before. You kind of know what to expect, but you're not as, like, fresh and, like you said, wide-eyed to it as you were before.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
But I'm not jaded yet, so that's good.
No, not yet. Not yet. Glenn, are you jaded yet?
Completely.
I knew it. I knew it. Everybody's going to be.
I am at a bit of a down point in my personal fandom over the last, I have been over the last year or so. I'm barely hanging on to a couple of shows that I watch with my boyfriend because wrestling was the first and rare thing that we really have in common. So I need to keep this.
Is he jaded as well now?
More so since he met me, just generally in life, which is a fact that I have a very complicated emotional relationship with. But not as jaded as I am at times.
Well, I think Tim, too, you had said recently that you were sort of in a blah state about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going into, I guess, a lull in my... I mean, that's the thing with me, though, in wrestling, is that my interest always just waxes and wanes. It's gotten to the point where I can... I don't want to say predict it, but I know when I'm not feeling it, I have to take a step back and go, oh, is it because everything truly sucks, or is it just that it's everything's just hitting me the wrong way because I'm just so not feeling wrestling right now? And don't get me wrong, it would help if the product was consistently what I wanted it to be, but my tolerance is just very, very fickle with wrestling, and I don't know what that is. Just you almost have to take a break and disengage from it periodically. And I think I told you that what was keeping me really holding on was the Ciampa Gargano storyline in NXT. And then when Ciampa went out, I was just sort of like, I'm good. I think it's time to take a break, which, you know, I'm not even feeling like shitty about it. I just sort of am like, I just have no real reason to invest in this right now. And talk to me in 6 months, I'll probably feel differently. It's just how it goes.
Yeah, I'm super bummed about the Ciampa thing too. I'm going to NXT, but I'm not mad about Adam Cole, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean I think they're doing what they need to do to compensate, but I don't know. I was just hanging on by a thread, and I guess so was his neck.
Good Lord.
Glenn, are you looking forward to, you know, any particular matches, or is it more just like the experience of going to your first WrestleMania?
It's mostly just the experience for me. I was just trying to remember a lot of the matches, and that might just be me right now. But
well, there's only 16 of them, right?
I mean, oh yeah, that's right. Everyone's in a friggin' singles match, so there's going to be 28 matches on the show.
Who can account for this?
You know, we're going back to like WrestleMania 5 or 6, where you know you had 10 5-minute matches and then the main event.
That's right. Why don't we do a WrestleMania 4 tournament today? I mean, you're going to have a 7-hour show anyway.
Tournaments are cool. It's the only thing that's ever made people care about the cruiserweights.
Well, for that window, yes. I mean, they did have that, which, and look where we are now. They need to do another one, right?
Well, they just did. They just did the whole number one contender tournament over the course of a while, didn't they?
You would know better than I would, I think.
All right, this ain't the wrestling feed.
No, it's not.
No, indeed.
What else are you going to throw at Glenn?
Jenny? Well, I mean, one thing that is popular with our guests is talking about their relationship status. And Glenn, you mentioned your boyfriend. How long have you been together? What's your deal?
We are imminently coming up on 4 years.
4 years? Cool. That's not nothing.
And he moved in 2 years ago.
Nice. How did you meet?
Actually, Tim is tangentially involved in this.
I am?
Yes.
I didn't know this.
Way back in the Halcyon days of 2013.
That year again.
Yes. I went on vacation to visit Tim in your fine domicile, in your fine commonwealth.
Oh, so you've seen him in person?
Yes.
Oh, wow. All
right. Yes, he can vouch that I am an actual human being, not a voice coming out of your speakers.
Amazing.
A voice in the computer, I believe, as Nick Duke or Greg Phillips once put it,
mm-hmm.
which I think I would prefer, in all honesty, but can't be helped. No, I had just moved into my house like maybe a month before that. And so it was weird. It was like my house was like kind of half furnished, but it was just one of those things. We didn't even really plan it. I think it was like, hey, do you want to see this concert in D.C. such and such week? Yeah, okay, let's do it. And it just kind of turned into a long weekend.
So, I was on this vacation. I was at Tim's house, and it happened to coincide with my 29th birthday. And
that's right. Yeah.
I was on my way home from seeing Tim, and I was thinking, you know, I was just turning 29. I never really had the sort of wild days sowing my oats era mm-hmm. in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to change that before I turned 30.
Mm-hmm.
So
you had limited time.
Well, so I went home and obviously wanting to get out a little, I started installing the apps.
The apps.
Mm-hmm. The apps.
Which ones?
Well, Grindr is fucking useless.
Yeah, sure is.
Grindr is entirely, like, jocks.
Yeah.
And twinks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of which are communities.
Twonks sometimes, I guess, if you're lucky.
A twunk, perhaps, yes.
Yes, twonk. That's the thing. Are you twonk or twunk? I don't know that there's an official, how you land on that one.
I always liked the fine kerthunk quality of the twonk.
Yeah, it does have a nice ring to it. Anyway.
So Grindr was useless. This was around the time that I even discovered that there were subsets of the community that were specifically into big old fatzos like myself. So eventually I found...
So there's an app for that?
Well, yeah. There was Scruff, which is a more kind of bearish kind of scene. And actually, Scruff was the first app that I saw this guy that I had a huge crush on in high school.
Oh, there you go.
He was.
Did
you know,
it make you think like maybe you had a shot back then, or was it more like, yeah, this makes sense that he would show up here?
Oh, I might have had a shot if I had only been able to actually express a feeling verbally.
Sure.
I very well may have, and it kind of haunted me for a while until there was another situation that haunted me for a longer while. But now we're here. So I started installing these apps. I started trying to get with some people, and surprisingly, I met with some success.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw, you know, a few guys on some of these apps, and one of the people that I saw on the Growler app. I'm not kidding.
No, you're not.
One of the profiles that I saw was the guy that I would eventually wind up being my boyfriend now. And, you know, I talked to him a little bit. We added each other on Facebook and didn't seem to have that much in common. So we didn't really talk much until like a year and a half later when he asked me what I was doing. And I was doing something on Place to Be after I joined up here. And I mentioned, you know, he's doing something for this wrestling website that I run with my friends. And he was suddenly like, "You like wrestling?" Oh, mm. You know, suddenly now we have something to talk mm-hmm. about. Now we have a shared context. And it just took off from there.
Mm. I love that. That's amazing.
I do, too. And, I mean, I find that those apps do work pretty good when you are the thing and you're also looking for the thing. You know what I mean? It's when you are kind of outside of your own lane that it gets a little tricky.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, there are, there are dudes who are, like, into big fatsos, right? And you're like, well, I am, and I'm speaking for myself, okay? Like, I will say I am a big fatso. And it's kind of like, do I do the fatso's seeking fatso's thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
To put it in terms that I think are universal. Or do I, you know, try to be, I don't know, more narrow-minded in a way and feel like that I'm being fetishized by somebody, right?
Hmm.
And that's sort of the, you know, that's a totally different and is very, I think, particular and down to the individual.
See, that's a definite factor, the fear of being seen as a fetish object. And, mm-hmm. you know, as we fear being seen as an object by others in many contexts. But what I can say about that is that it depends on the way that a person feels. Like the way that they express it. There are people who are creepy about it, and there are people who aren't.
Yeah, it's, and you don't always know what you're gonna get. You know, you don't know until you know.
So okay, so do you not also feel like, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. So like you have a type of person that you're attracted to. And so you feel like you have to look in those groups. Do you also feel like you are fetishizing them? Like, is it, you know, is it one way or the other?
Well, no, because I don't really have a physical type. I don't really have much of a type at all. It literally just depends on what a person is like and how we get along with each other. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really develop an attraction to someone until I know them a little bit. And so a lot of the things that you would think of as types don't really apply to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not something that I'm going to place a creepy amount of emphasis on. So it's not something that I'm going to use to fetishize someone else.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, and I think I talked about this on the episode we did with Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
I have pretty catastrophic body image issues as it is. So I'm kind of always conscious and cognizant of just, and I hate that types are like even a thing really, like within the capital letters community, and just, you know, the fact that we have a type and that whole thing. And it's just, to answer your initial question, if I, a big fat dude, am going for another big fat dude, I am really going to be far less likely to feel fetishized, let's say, in that scenario, than I am like a little tiny Twinkie dude, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be in the back of your mind. Is it because I'm this way and maybe I don't always want to be this way? And, you know, it's just, you know, you get in your own head and fuck yourself up, essentially. And, mm-hmm. and what that, and the reality of that and how it kind of manifests for me is I kind of want more to look like the thing that I'm attracted to, which in a lot of ways is pretty illogical, but you just, you can't help it with body image issues being what they are. Mm. So yeah, it's one of those things that it just, it kind of, I don't know, it really messes with you in a way that you're not always even conscious of until you take a step back and go, what am I even doing here? What are we doing?
What are we doing? But like, even the apps were like fetish specific.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like, here I am on Growler. So,
well, there are some that are, and there are some that are less explicit about it, but it just kind of happens in the, you know, community of people that develops in any place online.
Yeah. Good times.
So I love that after your visit with Tim, you're like, I've got to go buck fucking wild. Like, I'm going to be 30 and
I have complex feelings about that.
So let me get on this grinder.
I think I turned 30 shortly after that. Yeah, if it was 2013, then yeah, I turned 30 that September myself. So yeah, I am. I don't know how
both younger than me. That's some bullshit.
I know. Yeah, which I never really think about either. Like, I always think of,
everybody's older than me. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, we're all the same age, is how I look at it. No. But anyway, we won't belabor that point.
Okay. So I know Tim and I have talked about this a little bit, in that that when you are given the right to marry, there might come some societal pressure to get married. Do you feel the same way, Glenn?
I don't think I feel a big societal pressure to get married. And there are somewhat unfortunate financial reasons why it would be unwise for us to get legally married, but there are lots of different things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
You're more so grateful that the opportunity exists to do so, if you so choose.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, on the basis of equality. But also, if you remember the era when it was going state by state, mm-hmm. and especially when it was accelerating and every couple of months there was another state, I was transfixed by all the photos that came out every time marriage was legalized in a different state of huge crowds of people who were just incredibly happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even if on no other basis, how could you deny people what makes them this happy when they finally get it? And that was just amazing to me every time. And then when it came for the entire country, it was, you know, the big fireworks at the end of the parade, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of our series finale as a country.
Well,
when you think about it,
it's all shit from there.
We needed to cancel the United States right after that.
Someone needs to invade us and install a democracy.
Canceling this country on a daily basis.
That's
speaking of Connecticut, Connecticut. No, I'm going somewhere with this. It's a terrible, okay. It's a terrible segue, but
that was great.
All right, you do you, man.
Have you you thought about leaving not only Connecticut but perhaps the entire country? Have you ever given serious thought consideration to where would I go? Could I even go? Does this make sense? Like, does that ever cross your mind?
Yes, but the answers to those questions depend on just how dystopic you expect things to get and how bad that you or I would personally let it get in denial before finally deciding to act. It's something that I think about sometimes and something that... you know, I'm absolutely renewing my passport. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's,
when that comes up.
I do know what you mean. And that's sort of where I was going with it, too, is that I contemplate this. I don't know that I would say a lot, but more than I probably thought I would. Let's say 2-4 years ago, and I do sort of ask myself, well, where is the line? Especially when you are day after day after day lowering your standards more and more, it seems like, just to, I don't know, exist. And that's coming from a place of relative privilege for me. Mm-hmm. And I just think of people who have it far worse, and yeah, I don't know exactly where the line is, but probably there is one, and I hope we don't reach it, you know?
So when you Seinfeld GIF out, where are you going to go?
I don't know. That's the thing. I mean, you look at the obvious, like there's Canada, but, you know, what are you going to do, move to Canada, and that's that? Is it...
what does that mean?
Move to Canada and hope you're in one of the groups that gets treated better in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on, how? I mean, yes, the grass is greener, but it ain't all that far away. It's sort of like if you're going to do it, then go for broke, right? Like, move to the fucking Netherlands or something. Move to Finland. Move to, God, who knows, Norway.
Well, the real last-ditch scenario, for my family at least, since my brother and I are Jewish, we can become citizens of Israel if we
there
need. Although I don't entirely understand the exact regulations around it, but that's how it was always explained to me.
You gotta think, though... how do you think daily life is in Israel? So,
well, the language barrier
different.
Would be hard.
Yep.
Say different.
Different.
And being in such a hot climate, oh yeah, I could never.
Yeah. Oh no, you can't go to a hot place. That's the thing.
No.
Well, I mean, if it's the place where I can still be alive.
Yeah, well...
Well, sweaty, again, but alive.
Again, we're talking about lowered expectations here and lowered standards. So if that's the bar, then alive, I suppose, is preferable than dead or suffering.
Do you have anything in terms of a more particular bug-out scenario? Jenny, what's your bug-out scenario?
Oh, fuck. I got nothing, man. My kid is, you know, it's hard enough to keep him alive, so
yeah.
I'm just like, look, like, it will take a lot, is what I'm saying, because I can't, like...
You can't pick up and go quite
I can't, like, you know, kids change things a lot when it comes to, like, mobility. Yeah, so.
I like it.
And then my kid is even, like, double that. So, I mean, just moving from Alabama to Florida was, like, a goddamn nightmare. So I can't imagine trying to go to fucking Amsterdam, although that sounds awesome.
I was about to say, yeah. You can't just be like, all right, pack your bags. We're moving to Amsterdam now.
Right. Like, I would love that, but, I mean, that's probably not going to happen. And I'm going to be like everybody else that's, like, regular and just stay here and watch it fucking fall down. I mean, for one thing,
how good are your finances? Yeah. You know, can you make it in Amsterdam on no notice?
Probably not. If I sold all this shit, probably. I don't know.
All this shit.
What's the cost of living in Amsterdam? I have no idea. Like, and it's sad and probably lazy on my part, but it is what it is. I mean, I'm sad and lazy, so that's me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the way to answer how serious are you about this type of thing, your first step is going to be, well, how much have you really looked into it? And for me to answer that question is, well, I think I looked at Canada's immigration policy one night and got somewhat of an understanding, a cursory understanding of what that would take, and then kind of went on with my life. So I'm not at the point of, researching particular countries or anything yet, or, you know, learning a second language, but I don't know, man. It's always in the back of the mind now.
And it's like, how much better is it really going to be, is kind of my bottom line with it. I don't know enough about other places to know if it would be any better, you know, in Canada or France or England, you know.
I just look at those happiness indices, you know. Mm. Look at where we are in the United States. And look at other, admittedly, less diverse countries.
Right. Or, white countries.
I mean, there's, yeah, very white. Admittedly, it's like, there's got to be a cultural component to that. And I don't know. I feel like I'd be down with just not working as much and having a lot more free time. That's for my selfish.
Is there a country that exists where you don't have to work, or is that where you're going to move?
Well, not work at all, although right. That would be the dream.
Right.
But certainly.
Yeah, there are some promising experiments, but it might be hard to get someplace with a universal basic income right off the bat. We're trying, though.
But I just think, get the fuck out of here, and pretty much anywhere in Europe, you're going to be working less than probably the expectations here in an extremely capitalistic society. So, yeah.
But, Tim, you don't like people or going places or doing things. So, like, what do you mean?
Well, I like working less than all of that. So.
Right. You're like, so I want to work less and do more things, but, like, I know you don't want to do things. Like, I know that.
Well, yeah, I don't necessarily want to do things. I just want to not be working. Have the time to do things if
you
I
can
so
do
cheap.
That in America.
You know, it's very important to have time when you're doing nothing.
Yeah, it is.
Capital N, nothing. It's an important thing to do sometimes.
I could be masturbating with fish carcasses. That'll do.
I'm not here to judge, man.
Watch out for the bones.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, maybe you just turn it inside out then.
the mental image right now.
Right.
I want everyone to stop what they're doing. Seize the mental image of this.
Yeah, just flip it inside out like a Ziploc bag. And then, you know, get on down.
God, what else?
This has been a meandering conversation.
Aren't they all, though?
Yeah.
Oh.
How you feeling there, Lynn?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
I'm here. I'm with it.
You're with it?
You're with
it. Not anxious, though.
You know, a little less as we've gone along. Thank
well,
you
good.
For that.
All right.
Oh, we've accomplished something,
we
then.
We have. I'm proud of us.
I am, too. Bringing a little joy to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And to Glenn Butler.
I feel like there's a live read I'm supposed to be doing right now. But
oh,
I didn't prep
you know
it.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say that the moment has passed.
Yes.
Considering we came back from break and didn't do.
You're right.
So you mean we're not ready for the big leagues of podcasts?
What do you think, Tim?
Who would say that this show isn't ready for the big leagues of podcasting?
You mean we're not going to get picked up by Gimlet Media?
Maybe Earwolf Media.
I was hoping to get that deal with WNYC.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I mean, first we've got to get a Casper mattress sponsorship.
And Blue Chew.
And Blue Chew, of course. And while we're at it, how about Purple Mattress?
Stamps.com.
Stamps.com.
And yeah. Enter the promo code Place2Be.
See? This is our audition. Postmates.com? Isn't that one?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's the food one?
The Blue Apron.
Yeah, Blue Apron. Yeah.
BlueApron.com to go along with your Blue Chew.
Yep.
But not DraftKings.com. Didn't they have some big scandal where they had to go away for a while? Forever, maybe? Anyway.
Well, hopefully.
Yep.
Hey, guess what? We had a busy week on the pop feed.
Oh, my God.
Are we doing this? Are we doing this?
Did we? Did we have something for everyone?
We sure did, Glenn. Yeah. There was a new episode of Hard Traveling Fanboys. And
yes.
They were talking, they were closing out Captain Marvel month. And they were talking about an animated show, I believe, on that, Marvel Rising, I think it's called. And then the NBA team, boys, gave a quick hit March Madness for 2019 preview. And Jason Sherman was joined David Sunday for the newest edition of Sunday Groove for part two of a look at albums released between 1998 and 2003. Andy Scott, D'Amato, and Dr. G continue their trek through time with old cast, I mean, year in pop.
Time Trek. I mean,
yeah.
Old cast. I mean, yeah, you're in pop.
They went through the year 1974. Ben Morse welcomed Todd Weber to finish up their look at 1969, a much cooler year.
It's a great episode, too. I listened to it not too long ago.
Was it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
That is
maybe, I will say, maybe the best Marvel Age masterclass that I've heard.
Well,
just saying.
That's saying something.
Yeah. They were raising the bar there.
They sure are. And then I think probably one of the best podcasts that I've listened to in quite a while is called Conversation Comics.
Oh,
in which Tim Capel and Todd Weber look at Uncanny X-Men number 35 for 2 hours, and it was awesome, and I loved it. I've never read that, and I'm never going to read it. But
well, now you don't have to.
I don't. It's great.
You should, though. You should read along with us, because you'll... I mean, hey, you will have time. You can listen to... It's like doing a commentary, you know, mm-hmm. as you're watching a film, a live watch and commentary.
Right.
But we sort of do that for comics. So it's not like we're reading the comic to you, but you could be reading the comic and multitasking and listening to us talk about the comic.
Probably so, mostly just looking at it instead of reading it.
Yeah, it's a multi-sensory experience, ideally.
Well, speaking of multi-sensory experiences, on the wrestling feed, there was a new episode of Place to Be podcast in which I was on, and we looked at the February 1989 Madison Square Garden house show. And then there was a new Wrestling Warzone, digging into Christmas Night 1995 edition of Nitro, featuring Randy Savage versus Ric Flair, world title match. I'm surprised we didn't pick one of those for our Talking WCW Ric Flair episode.
Well, I almost did.
You almost did.
I was trying to be mindful of podcast synergy.
Not repeat ourselves. Right. So in episode 3 of Talking WCW, me and you and Greg Phillips looked at the legendary Ric Flair in a fantastic episode, if I do say so myself.
That was fun AF to
right.
do.
And I'm sure Glenn listened to all of those things.
Sure he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I obviously did.
And last but not least, you got to check out PlaceToBeNation.com, and the content will be picking up there since we're under new management. And there is a PTB and Greatest Candy Tournament Facebook page in which we are doing a tourney of candy, and it's pretty cool so far. Snickers for the win, in my opinion.
So you're getting behind Snickers.
Always.
All right. And what category are they competing in?
Chocolate.
Are they in chocolate?
Because
I feel like that's the thing. Snickers, like myself, is rather versatile, and you could go with the chocolate. I mean, you're not going to put it in the fruit category, obviously, but. Why is there even a fruit? Does anyone really like fruit-based candies that much?
Like Starburst?
Skittles, Starburst and Skittles, but it's not. They're not going to win a greatest candy tournament. Let's
probably
face it.
Not. What do you think, Glenn? Where are you at on candy?
Well, I'm Reese's Pieces all the way in terms of this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
The fruit candy, though, I think you're giving it somewhat short shrift. Because that has Lifesavers, too, doesn't it?
Am I being an anti-fruitite?
You are. What about you, Glenn? Do you have any spectacular things coming up?
Anything we'll be reading in the live read, which we did so well.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I killed it. Shut up.
I think you did.
Well, there are always the regular episodes that I've done in the past and will continue to do. So, you know, there's another season of Stranger Things this year. I'll have something about that in July, and that's the most recent I can promise a podcast.
I have a weird question.
What's that?
Are y'all, there it is, y'all, are y'all, like, really super looking forward to this third season of Stranger Things? Or is it more, yeah, I'll watch it when it drops.
No, I am.
You are?
I'm pretty hyped for it.
Glenn?
I'm wondering how many times they can do the same basic structure.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if they think they can do it a third time.
I think they're going to swerve us and change it up a little bit.
I'd like them to. And I don't know. I think everybody really jumped on that second season. You know, it's just a little over a year after the first. We're all just ravenous for more Stranger Things. Binge watched it, which, you know, you can hear about on Todd Weber's Binge Please on Place Be Nation Pop as well. And it was just sort of like after you sat back to process it, went, was it that good? I guess it was all right. It wasn't a waste of my time. And I feel okay about it, but it's not, I don't know, it's something that I felt like the second season was not as good as the first, and that's okay, but I'm just not as excited as I want to be for that third season.
Okay.
And I enjoyed the preview. Don't get me wrong. I'm not avoiding previews or anything like that. I just mm-hmm. hopefully I will be in a different mindset.
Seasons 1 and 2 are just the foreplay until you get to a Hopper and Joyce sex scene.
Which is all I want out of season 2.
I'm sorry, I need to see that.
Glenn, you're like the anti-shipper, aren't you?
I am very much the anti-shipper.
An anti-shipite.
I don't need more hetero romance in my fiction.
And Jenny is the shipper supreme.
I'm not against any kind of homo romance as well. I mean, give me all of the fucking, really, honestly.
You're just very pro.
So I'm just like, somebody do it.
Yes.
I mean, I enjoy David Harbour very much, and I think that Joyce could really give her all in a sex scene.
You think she could give her all?
She could just, I mean, I believe she could tear it up, so.
This podcast is definitely horny now, isn't it?
I told you, it always is.
And there's always that undercurrent to the podcast, but yeah, leave it to Stranger Things to do that. Well, I mean, I liked the what we saw of, I guess, the new monster. I mean, mm-hmm. It looks pretty cool. But, yeah, I am about ready for him to do something conceptually a little bit different. And we'll see. It's been off for so long. I don't think it's going to hurt him. I don't know.
I think that Eleven is going to find a new power set.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Oh, well, they're going to have to keep escalating that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate that it looks like this is the season they acknowledge that the kids are getting older, so mm-hmm. that's a good sign.
Yep.
Right. And that's tricky, too. It's, you know, that can very much mess with your formula and mess with your dynamic when, you know, the first season was that one very specific thing, and now all these dirtbag teenagers are... like, I don't feel the same way about the show anymore. So they definitely have to contend with that, for sure.
Well, I can't wait until season 10 when they're all disillusioned store clerks.
It's in black and white.
Have we circled around to why is everything shit yet?
You know, I think we might have... provided enough evidence to answer that question.
Oh, okay, good.
But if you have any other commentary, I mean, by all means, we can keep that open.
I feel like the answer is 42.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Glenn's asleep.
All right.
Oh, come on now.
Well, Glenn, would you like to promote anything, let folks know where they can find you on these interwebs within Place to Be Nation and without?
Indeed. I am the writer of the Wednesday Walk Around the Web, as mentioned previously, a long-running weekly link roundup of articles and sometimes songs, if they're covers of Jolene, and... various things that I have found entertaining or intriguing or sometimes thought-provoking, sometimes, delivered straight to theplacetobenation.com at 9 a.m. sharp every Wednesday morning. I am also, of course, the host of the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, another show on our prestigious pop feed. And we had a few episodes in Oscar season this past winter examining the best score candidates of a few different years, which apparently is the kind of show that I can still put together. So, you know, maybe watch for something next Oscar season. I'm advertising next year's podcasts now. That's what we in the business call a teether.
Tantalizing.
consider me teased. What about Twitter?
Yes, if anyone would like to find me on Twitter, Tumblr, or Instagram, if you would like to see pictures of my cat, you can find me at Glennie Bunn on those fine, fine services. Well, not that fine, actually. Social media is a absolute hellscape because everything is shit and nothing is allowed to be good.
Thank you for bringing it back.
Love it.
I especially enjoy your Catterday posts.
Me too.
But I won't actually like them because I am a ghost on Facebook. I am considering breaking my Facebook embargo.
You should.
Here's a segue. The Marvel Age podcast, which I am one quarter of, also here on Place We Nation Pop. We just entered the decade of the 70s. We're not quite to 1974, as covered on Oldcast, but we're getting there rapidly on Marvel Age, looking at all the great and not so great but notable comics of every year published by Marvel Comics. And yeah, I kind of took over the reading list because everything is shit, as we said, and I thought I could do it better, and they decided to let me. I don't know why they would, but I'm sure I will rue the day I made that decision, but I think I might try to throw some stuff up in our Place to Be Nation Comics Facebook group, so check that out if you're not a member and you like comics or you just like us. Place Me Nation Comics Facebook. I may try to get more. Oh God, it just sounds so disgusting to me to acknowledge that I might become more active on Facebook.
Embrace it, Tim. It's going to happen.
Anyway, also the aforementioned.
You can always go to Mastodon.
You could always take it to Mastodon.
Fucking right. LiveJournal.
Mm. Yeah. You know what? We're going to bring back Friendster. That's our. yeah, and the aforementioned Talking WCW on the Place Me Nation wrestling feed. So, very, very fun show that Jenny, you and I do with Greg Phillips. I just get a kick out of it every single outing. I am active on Twitter at Psyche68, C-Y-K-E-68. I do things on Twitter. I sort of have fun with Twitter and embrace it for the nightmarish hellscape that it is.
Wonderful.
If you carefully consider your inputs, you can kind of prune things down enough and allow certain places to flourish enough that Twitter is almost bearable.
Agreed.
I would say I've curated my Twitter to be probably 70% comics Twitter and 20% wrestling Twitter, and then the other 10 like a free-for-all.
Yeah, but both of those have more than their fair share of bad personalities, my dude.
They absolutely do, but let me just say, the ratio is not accidental. I could go with a lot more comics Twitter than I can wrestling Twitter, notwithstanding Comicsgate, but that's a whole other thing.
Oh no, it's a significant contributor to everything being shit, as discussed.
Yes, here we go. Checking the boxes.
Speaking of Twitter and being shitty, I am Jenny Cruz 2814. You can follow me there. And listen to me on the newest episode of Freak Out Drive-In with Andy Atherton. We watched Dawn of the Dead, the Zack Snyder 2004 remake. A new episode of Geek and Sassy is coming soon. Had some difficulties there, but we should be having our Sassy Awards soon. And I was a guest on Russell Sellers' DC Post Management Crisis Management. Yeah, I knew it was fucking up when I said that. So, yeah, he and I talked about Flashpoint, and that just dropped this week, too.
I'm in a post-management crisis at work, which also contributes to everything being shit.
All right. Well, Glenn, thank you so much for hanging out with us and,
indulging us.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. And to everyone listening, I would just like to say I'm sorry.
No.
No.
Don't be.
They blame us, not you. We do this.
There's no blame. This is awesome. What are y'all talking about? All right. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Everything's shit.